This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Sifting through it, trying to figure out what on earth that can be. I love it. There's almost a mariachi flavor to it, and that kind of rhythm of ba 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 ba. So like 6-8 and then 2-4, 6-8, 2-4, back and forth. That almost so belongs to mariachi too. And that wonderful otherworldly trombone entrance. Man, that's a different key. Welcome to Post Classical. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and I have with me my favorite hosts here. This is a real brain trust that puts together these shows. Joseph Horowitz, it's great to see you back in the studio.
Hi, Bill.
And the wonderful conductor, Angel Gil Ordonez. You just make me smile when I see you every single time, man.
Great to be here, Bill. Yeah, Thank you. Mm.
So what was that we were just listening to?
This is the composer we have performed more than any other by far in our 15 seasons. Silvestre Revueltas, the great composer you've never heard of, a composer whose time will come. We will do anything in our power to hasten the day of its coming.
You know, in a way, you're preaching to, if not the choir, somebody who's known about Revueltas for almost 50 years. I heard the Philly Orchestra play this piece, Senza Maya, which we're going to hear later. And then when I was a young conductor, I wanted to conduct, I loved it. And I also felt it was a great piece for students. Because it's about killing a snake. And sure. It's a 7-8. I had them go, boom, 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 kill the snake, one, boom, 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 kill the snake. Kids loved it. And they were intoxicated with it. So tell us about Silvestre Revueltas. Born where? In Mexico, but where?
He's born, I wrote it down, in Santiago Papasquiaro in Durango, in a village of 3,000, which is informative because we'll hear in a moment a very old recording of a typical Mexican banda, and that is the sound in Revueltas's ear. It's the sound that generates his unique symphonic signature. He's a guy who you can recognize in an instant. Revueltas sounds like Revueltas, and the tubas and the shrill clarinets and trumpets that he heard as a kid. He has huge tuba parts. I mean, all tuba players know and fear Revueltas. So when you ask where was he born in 1899, in this case, it means everything.
Okay. Let's put him in context. Aaron Copland's born in 1900. I think Virgil Thompson just a few years before. George Gershwin born in 1898.
Same generation.
So here are the American composers. There's also Cesar Chavez is born around the same age in Mexico.
That's
and in
right.
fact, Chavez and Revueltas, not only contemporaries, but very well associated. We'll get to that later. There might be some dark deeds ahead.
Right. Yeah, they're in some ways antitheses. Angel, you come to this composer as a Spaniard with an affinity for Mexico. What's special about Revueltas for you?
Well, as Joe mentioned, and we mentioned in, remember when we did the Bernard Herrmann program, somehow post-classical ensemble is, we advocate for lost causes or semi-lost causes. And Revueltas is one of these lost causes. So yes, I'm very close to the Mexican community and culture. My wife is Mexican. Everybody has been in Mexico understands that music is essential in the Mexican life. So you have music everywhere, on the streets, in the restaurants. There are the few still places where you have a trio playing or singing in every restaurant. So this is the spirit of Revueltas, the spirit of the Mexican street. There is the famous Garibaldi Plaza, where you have 30, 40, 50 mariachis there. People go there to hire them. So you imagine 30 different groups playing at the same time, things? It's the ideal of Charles Ives.
Yeah, it makes St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice look like pikers.
And of course, a little bit out of tune.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the spirit of the Revueltas music. The bands, what they call in Mexico, the tamboras. The tamboras are the village bands in which, you know, all this instrument a little bit out of tune. And in Senza Maya, we will listen later, he writes, for example, the piccolo in the E-flat clarinet, a half step of one another to try to convey that. So this is the spirit of Revueltas. The Mexican culture is undeniable. And as Joe said, as soon as you listen to Revueltas, this is Mexico, and this is Mexican culture.
Okay, I understand from Hannah Hill. Joe Horowitz, where did you grow up? New York City?
Sort of.
And what is your background that drew you so far from Beethoven and Schubert, which I know you played to me?
I first heard Revueltas in the days when I was, of all things, a New York Times music critic. I was at Tully Hall. I'd never even heard of Sensemayá, and I realized this is a considerable piece of music.
Yeah.
I misheard Revueltas, as everyone does who only knows Sensemayá, as a kind of Stravinsky-influenced composer, because that is a Stravinsky-influenced piece. It turns out he is one of the most uncategorizable composers that any of us will ever encounter. You cannot place him. And yes, there is an influence by Stravinsky, but he really is self-invented.
Yes.
He was a violinist, highly trained as a violinist, not trained at all as a composer. He created himself. So the best basis we have is the banda. Let's listen. Here's a recording furnished by Roberto Kolb, who's our guru. He's the leading Revueltas scholar in the world. Everything we know about Revueltas, half of it comes from Roberto, and he furnished for us a recording of a village banda from the early 20th century, the very moment when Revueltas heard the banda in his hometown. And this tells us a lot about the sound world of Revueltas.
Man, that is a blast from the past, isn't it? You know, and it's a funny thing. I hear bits there that showed up in Copland's El Salameco. It's obviously Mexican folk tunes that they were both using. It's wonderful to hear. So that's the sound Revueltas was fascinated with.
Yeah, and he also, in a little autobiographical sketch, he reminisced about it. And this is a very typical expression of feeling and thought from this particular composer. He said, "I was very young, 3 years old, when I heard the little village band play its evening concert in the square. I stood listening for a long time in what must have been spectacular concentration, because it was so intense that my eyes crossed. And cross-eyed I remained for 3 or 4 days after. As a small boy, I always preferred banging on a washtub to doing something useful. I have since had many teachers, the best of them with no degrees. Now, after many years, I still study, write music, and bang on washtubs." So that's a little self-portrait of this very volatile, hard-drinking Mexican personality with roots in the village.
Wait a minute,
and the
not
banda.
Drinking at the age of three. That wasn't why he was cross-eyed. It was the music.
The drinking came later.
Yeah, I'm afraid it did.
So, in order to get some music into our ears that's composed by Revueltas, we're about to embark on the soundtrack for the movie Redes, which was made in 1935, an iconic product of the Mexican Revolution, which, honest to goodness, has one of the greatest scores ever composed for film.
Angel, can I ask, what does that word mean?
Redes is the fisherman's nets.
Ah, I see.
And the film is precisely, you know, making this symbology of oppression of the fishermen with the fish inside the net. So it's a beautiful imagery during the film all the time, combining these two images.
So we're going to hear a bit of this score.
We're going to hear the whole score, but we're going to start with a bit that's self-contained. A lot of this music is self-contained. Mm-hmm. In fact, he started to compose this music before he had seen any of the rushes. All he had was the scenario, because he wanted to create an autonomous score. And within this autonomous score, there was a funeral. A child, an infant, dies because his father, a fisherman, cannot pay for the doctor. And Revueltas composes a dirge. And this dirge will introduce us to the sound world of Silvestre Revueltas. Thank you.
where the music really casts a spell, doesn't it? Music of Silvestre Revueltas, from the year 1935. That's the funeral scene from a film called Redes. Joe, in your notes here, you write that Redes is the iconic film of the Mexican Revolution. And man, I'm such an ignorant gringo. I don't know very much about the history of, well, I mean, we don't in this country. They are our closest neighbors, and we don't know very much about them at all. So what was the Mexican Revolution? When did it happen? And what influence did it have on all of these artists? Because I'm thinking of, like, later on, Trotsky gets there, and Diego Rivera, Frida Kahlo. Mm. That's, for me, something like the aftermath, I guess, of the Mexican Revolution.
So people say that it started in 1910, and people like Pancho Villa and Zapata are iconic participants in the Mexican Revolution. The fate of the Mexican Revolution is debatable. And by the way, bear in mind that 1910 is 7 years before 1917.
Right.
The
yes.
Russian Revolution.
Exactly.
And the Russians know about the Mexicans. So if you're on the far left, like Revueltas, the Mexican Revolution is incomplete. Mm-hmm. And you're pissed off about it, and you're still fighting the fight for the underdog.
This is through the 30s, through the 1930s.
I think the conventional wisdom is that it was co-opted. Mm. So the governments that take power after 1920 in the name of the Mexican Revolution are not really revolutionary. However, it's a legacy of this political and social upheaval that in the 1930s, all of Revueltas' music is composed in the 1930s. Mexico is a mecca for artists and intellectuals on the left. And they are the people who see Mexico as a beacon, an exemplar of how artists can power social and political change.
Right, this piece from 35, I'm thinking just a year later in Spain, in a way still the mother country, even though long divorced, that's the revolution of Franco and the Republic. You know a lot about this, Angel, so tell us a little bit about that background. And I think you said before we went on the air that Revueltas made a trip to Spain in the middle of the Spanish Civil War. Tell
Absolutely.
Us some of this story.
I think it's very important what Joe mentioned before of the consequences, so to say, of the Mexican Revolution influenced the artists of Mexico and also artists from all over the world because Mexico engage those artists to be part of the political dialogue, of the culture. I mean, Carlos Chavez was the director of education, and music education. The other parallel is, as you say, Spain. Mm-hmm. Spain, the Civil War, as actually in Europe, was the last hope against fascism. Hitler mm-hmm. was already
And Mussolini.
Everybody saw all the far leftists and socialists and people with liberal ideas saw the Civil War of Spain as the last hope. This is why we had, you know, the international brigades. A lot of Americans went to Spain.
American Lincoln Hemingway. Brigade was called. Right?
Because also the Republic, the Spanish Republic in the 30s, involved the intellectuals and the artists in the political and the social scene. This is what is so interesting in the United States, why Copland was interested in going to Mexico. Mm. Because he felt there, as an intellectual, I might have a voice, or they have a voice. So I want to see what is happening there.
And Paul Strand, the famous American photographer, mm-hmm. went to Mexico and is the cinematographer for Redes.
For Redes. Mm.
John Steinbeck went to Mexico. Langston Hughes went to Mexico. Mm. Redes, with an American cinematographer, Revueltas as the composer, Fred Zinnemann, an Austrian refugee from Hitler's Germany, is the co-director. So this movie is a product of these political upheavals. Mm-hmm. It's the story of fishermen who are exploited and oppressed, and they revolt. A workers' revolution.
Can I ask, the sound was very good, I thought, what we were just listening to. Is that can't be from the original film track, is it?
So you're listening to a Naxos DVD produced by Post Classical Ensemble. This is one of our restoration projects, just as we've done with The City by Aaron Copland, The Plow That Broke the Plains, and The River with music by Virgil Thompson. We've taken a film from the 1930s and re-recorded the soundtrack. In this case, it's absolutely crucial because the soundtrack is so execrable. This is a film that, until recently, you couldn't see in a decent print, mm-hmm. and you couldn't hear.
Uh-huh.
The World Cinema Foundation, which is Martin Scorsese's group, created a fresh print, and we've created a DVD with a fresh score.
Fantastic. Can we hear some more of this music?
we're going to hear the whole damn thing.
Excellent. That makes me very happy to hear.
We're gonna start at the start. So here we go. And you'll notice, Bill, as we go through this score, that it's full of leitmotifs. It's truly symphonic.
It's very operatic.
In fact, the tune that we heard for the dirge ends the film in the major, but we'll get there in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So here we go. This is the start of the film Redes, with music by Silvestre Revueltas.
Wow, that's very evocative, and my imagination's going wild. But now I want to know what actually were the events on the screen that Revueltas is writing for.
Well, this is actually the, how do we call that, the credit titles?
It's the titles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the titles, how the film starts, you know, telling them, you know, director, etc. And then the first calm scene is the first time that the protagonist appears. The oboe with the strings very low. This is the first. And he's fishing with a small net.
You're hearing water music.
Exactly. It's water music. Water. And then at some point, he catches something. It's a fish this size.
You know? You show you about maybe not a foot long.
So this is how it starts, you know, is the desperation of this very poor fisherman that is trying to feed his family, and this is the first images. The cinematographer is Paul Strand. This is a very important thing in this film. This is, I would say, symphonic musical poem on the one hand, together with a symphonic visual poem on the other hand. And one of the reasons we were able to record this is because, and I think this is very pertinent and important to say, that when there is music, there is no dialogue. When there is dialogue, there is no music. Mm. So both the director and, you know, the participants thought that the music was very, very important.
I understand.
So they didn't want to overlap dialogue with music.
What's the next section we'll hear?
In the music we're about to hear, there's a passage for solo strings that in itself is pretty amazing.
It is.
Right? It's just a passing event in this score. But
yes,
there's a lot going on.
It's incredible.
In this soundtrack. It's incredible because we don't know it. No one's ever heard of it.
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy
that
this music is so little known and this composer so little appreciated. So we'll listen to the next part of the film without worrying for the moment what's on the screen.
Okay, we'll hear the next couple of sections now from Redes, this score for a film by Silvestre Revueltas. Those are both charming little excerpts. And you're going to laugh. I was thinking that Vaughan Williams would have loved it. It's very tonal in a way that some of the English composers depicting the English countryside, they go back and it's vaguely pentatonic, but it's like a kind of beautiful, exalted folk music. This is music of Silvestre Revueltas.
We were commenting, listening to these two tracks, how wasted this music is. It never comes back. And he didn't reuse it, but both of these little snatches are inspired. Mm-hmm. This is inspired original music.
Let's hear some more.
Okay, we're going to get to the big set piece now. What makes this movie matter are the three big set pieces, which are shot silent. Hmm. You don't even hear ambient sound. Huh. We already heard one of them, which was the funeral of the child. This is the biggest one. The fish come in. There have been no fish, so everybody's happy. But many other things happen. We're reminded by the music of things we do not see on screen. We're reminded of the hardship of the lives of the fishermen. So the tolling theme of the nets intervenes. When we see the nets on the screen, we see the nets underwater with the fish captured. And then my favorite part of this sequence musically is what I would call a chorale. Would you call that sequence a chorale, Angel, in the brass?
You mean later?
When they're pulling the ropes. I don't know how to describe it properly, but it evokes incredibly the resilience, pride of these suffering people. Mm-hmm. The whole thing registers as an epic portrait of Mexican lives.
Yes.
Let's hear some more. Once again, music of Silvestre Revueltas from the film from 1935, Redes. Thank you. it's at least two or three scenes for me. The first is almost primal, very old. Here come the mariners home from the sea. They got a full load of fish. People in the village are rejoicing. Shrimp boats are coming. They'll be dancing tonight. Remember that old tune, Joe? That's that scene with the mariachi music, which we heard at the very beginning of this program. Then there's a much deeper sort of music, actually underwater from what you were telling me, the low brass. And then this chorale theme at the end, all music from Redes, the film of Silvestre Revueltas. And now, Angel, is that you and your band playing now?
This is our people. What do you think about this phenomenal brass group and Chris Gecker as our principal trumpet?
Yeah, it's wonderful playing. But bravo to you, sir, for putting it all together. Joe, you can barely hold still when you listen to this music.
Well, I'm so aggravated, Bill.
So when he gets aggravated, he gets happy.
How is it possible we don't know this music? Well, okay, I could say, A, it's written by a Mexican, so that's a vote against it. Yeah. B, it's a film score to a film that's not well known and until recently didn't exist in a good print. And C, and equally important, you can't extract it. You cannot create a cantata like Alexander Nevsky or a usable suite. Mm-hmm. There is a suite. There are any number of suites, but the best known is Eric Kleiber, who was, you'll recall, was conducting in South America, conducting in Cuba. He obviously took a shine to this music because he created a 20-minute suite, but it doesn't work. First of all, there's no way to put it together coherently. And secondly, some of the best music, like this tolling theme and the brass for the Nets, without the images, it's just, it's incoherent. So one could adduce reasons. But the bottom line is, shame on us. It's now 2018. This guy died in 1940. How is it possible his music is still unknown?
Well, Joe, you're certainly doing your part to change the situation. What else do we hear now?
Well, we're going to hear the fight scene. This is a parable. It's about workers of the world unite, except that the world happens to be a Mexican village. Never mind how, but the bosses manage to get the workers fighting with one another.
They always do.
And this is the fight. The hero is shot. He falls. He's clutching his chest.
Shocking. What happens next?
So the music we'll next hear is the rest of the film. Obviously, or maybe it's not so obvious, but the shot, the death of the hero is what reunites the fishermen. And they come together and they storm the city. This is, again, remarkably choreographed by our composer. I guess we'll go all the way to the end. The very end, the most striking music in the entire score is an evocation of rowing, because they all get in their boats and they row and they row and they row. And the last image we have is of these rowed boats coursing towards the city where the united fishermen are going to confront their oppressors. Ankel, what can you tell us about this stretch of music we're about to hear, which is amazing music?
I think also it's worth to mention the biblical symbology of the film, because in the end, somehow the protagonist is the figure of Jesus Christ, somehow. The fishermen, the apostles, and he actually is immolated, and this is the reason that everybody unites. So there is a lot of components in the film. I mean, coming from a communist, it's a little strange to say, but this is unavoidable, this parallel to a biblical significance there.
He even delivers a sermon on the mount.
Absolutely, on a mountain,
on a hilltop.
On a hilltop. So there is all this symbology that is very, very important in the film. So your question was, yes, about the row scene. I think it's incredibly beautiful, the instrumentation of how he conveys these images of rowing little by little. So the boats are far away and they're approaching the village. And how he conveys that with the music is absolutely extraordinary.
That'll come at the very end of the sequence that we're about to hear. So he's just been shot, and we're picking it up from the moment he clutches his chest, where there's a gun wound.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
know, I'm thinking that there are some composers, when making a film score, who align their musical gestures very closely with what you're seeing on the screen. I'm thinking of an example in Alexander Nevsky, which you mentioned, which I conducted a few times, in which we get it just right. You can bring down the sword, this saber of one of Nevsky's followers, across the helmet of a Teutonic knight, just as a cymbal crashes. So, just like, and that has to go there because that's the whole point he's representing. I have the idea that the score of Revueltas is very, very different in nature, that it's more almost in a way symbolic of what we're feeling rather than trying to, you know, respond to a specific event. Is that true?
You are absolutely right, Bill. This is one of the most fascinating things about conducting this with film, is that in the end, you are creating your own version with the images. There are very few moments in which synchronization is important, you know, with a specific effect. But in the end, the composer gives you the freedom completely of creating your own tempi. I mean, actually, there are two moments in which you really want to make coincide the music. But, you know, in the middle of that, you have a lot of latitude and freedom. And that makes this fascinating. It's not what I think is called in Hollywood terms, Mickey Mousing, you know. that you have to be right there in the image.
Oh, a beautiful performance on how. Joe, thanks so much for bringing this music into us. We've been listening to music for the film score Redes by the great Mexican composer. Long gone now. He died in 1940. He lived only to be 39, 40 years old. Silvestre Revueltas. Remarkable music. Joe, this show, post-classical, you bring music that nobody else in the world is playing. That's your point, isn't it? But we get to hear it.
I actually, because I run this consortium, Music Unwound, that's funded by the NEH, have been able to bring Redes to half a dozen orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done in Buffalo, Austin, North Carolina, Las Vegas, South Dakota. The only major orchestra, so-called, that's done it is the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and Saladin got to it long before we did. Remarkably, when he became music director, looked around to find some music from that part of the world that he could embrace. He found two composers, Silvestre Revueltas, and he did an all Revueltas CD, and I don't know what else Revueltas he did. He certainly did Redes with live orchestra, and Bernard Herrmann, who is another composer that we champion.
Mm-hmm.
So I give him full credit for looking around and seeing what was in the neighborhood that needed his advocacy.
And I give you folks who are listening to us tonight full credit, too, because this is a tricky thing. We've been listening to a score which accompanies a visual event, and that's not such an easy task. You have to really use your imagination. So if you're enjoying this, then thanks very much. You're part of the show.
You are listening to Post Classical with your hosts Bill McLaughlin, Joseph Horowitz, and Angel Gil Ordonez. We'll be back in a moment with the second half of this program called The Great Composer You've Never Heard Of, The Music and the Life of Early 20th Century Mexican Composer Silvestre Revueltas, in a moment. Post-Classical is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org.